Shem Hashem Nasa Nasliya. We're holding now this week's Pasha, Pashat Balak. So, we learned a little bit from Kutim Aran, Torah Lamed Vav, which is less than 36. It says, Bezeo Klal, this is the general rule. Ki kol nefesh Mishrael, every soul of the Jewish people, Umushrash b'shvi'im nefesh shobet Yaakov. Right? It's rooted in the 70 souls of the house of Yaakov that went down to Mitzrayim. We know there were 70. So each Jew really were rooted in the 70 souls. Now, b'shvi'im nefesh shobet Yaakov. This 70 collective souls of the house of Yaakov, which we're all connected to, Umushrashim b'shvi'im parim shel Torah. They're rooted in the 70 aspects of Torah. We know Chazal teach us there are 70 facets to learn the Torah. There's not just one pshat of the Torah. There are 70 different ways to understand everything. So on one hand, on the side of the Kedusha, we have the 70 collective souls and the 70 ways to understand the Torah. However, we know the rule is always, whenever Hashem makes a Kedusha, He also makes a Tumah. He also makes on the side of evil. So there should be free choice. Like the Pasuk says, Zeh l'umat zeh asa Elohim. Right? We know the Pasuk says that Hashem made, there's always a balance. There's always going to be a balance between Kedusha and Tumah. So there's always free choice. There's always a balance. There's always going to be a balance. So what's on the opposite side of the 70 Jewish people, the 70 Jewish collective souls, the 70 facets of Torah? What's on the other side? They are the 70 languages, meaning the 70 nations. We know there are 70 nations. And man, now each nation has a certain bad character trait that the other nation does not have. Each one excels in their own evil. And because of these evils, these evil that they possess, this is why they're far from the Torah. You know why the Goyim can't understand the Torah? You know, why can't a Goy understand Torah? Why not? Makes sense. Why can't a Goy understand Torah? You know why? Because his evil, his bad midah, stops him from learning Torah. Let's say one person has Gaiva, one nation has Gaiva. They're so arrogant they can't see the truth of the Torah. Another people, they have such a tyrant for food, they don't want to listen to the Torah. They have to eat whatever they want. Each nation has their own type of their own specific Yitzhar, and that's the Yitzhar, the main one that blocks them from listening to the Torah. Their bad meat is the main thing that blocks them from listening to the Torah. So therefore, by us, the Jewish people, when we go into Galus, what does it mean Galus? What does it mean we're in exile? We're now going to start the 3 weeks on Shabbos. We're going to start the period of 3 weeks mourning because we're in exile. What does it mean we're in exile? Just a physical state, some people are not in Eretz. Let's say we're in Eretz Israel, but we're still in exile. Because what's exile? Exile is not just a physical, it's not just physically where I am. There is, the Jewish people were in spiritual exile. Because when we fall into exile, we fall into the other nations' evil temptations, and their evil midas, their evil ways. That's what it means for a Jew to be in Galut. A Jew in Galut means that we're trapped in the midas of the Goyim. We're trapped in the ways of the Goyim. We're trapped in the tavot, the desires of all the other nations. So it says, so when the nefesh of the Bet Yaakov comes into Galut, right, we get subjugated under the 70 nations. This means, what does it mean we're subjugated? We're subjugated to their evil ways. And then what happens when the Jewish person falls? Then the Jewish person, their soul gives 70 cries, 70 screams. Just like a yoledet, just like a woman before she gives birth. But the Zohar says she can't give birth until she screams 70 screams. But corresponding to the 70 words that are in the chapter 20 of Tehillim. Chapter 20 of Tehillim, Lamasech as well, David Yancha Hashem Yom Sarah, right? We say it in praying before Avodah Zarah. Chapter 20 of Tehillim. A woman cannot give birth until she gives 70 cries. And we have corresponding that we have 70 words in the chapter 20. That's why some people have a school to say when a woman's in labor, they say this tefillah, chapter 20 in Tehillim. So without this, it's impossible for her to give birth. So saying that every Jewish person is rooted in the 70 nations, every Jewish person is rooted in the 70 collective souls, right? Which is really corresponding to the rooted in the 70 ways to learn Torah. And on the other side, we have the side of the evil. They are 70 nations, and each nation possesses a bad mitzvah. So on one side of the scale, we have 70 collective souls. On the other side, we have 70 nations, 70 languages. And also on one side, we have the Torah, right? The 70 fast to learn Torah. On the opposite of that is the 70 bad mitzvahs, that all the evil temptations and desires of the other side. And this is how we understand a little bit why we need 70 cries. We need 70 cries to get out of the 70 nations. We need to give 70 cries because the nefesh gets trapped, and we need to get out of those 70 shackles and the midas of those 70 nations. So that's where we have to give the cries. It's like a woman giving birth needs to give 70 cries. We said, this is the rule. Shekol nefesh Yisrael, every Jewish soul, kodem sheyesh la galut v'torah v'vodah, before it gets a revelation in Torah or in a service of Hashem, in praying and understanding Hashem. Now what do they have to go through first? First, they have to be tested. As I've been asking, it was happy with that nefesh, but galut shal shvim al hashon. A person has to be tested with and go down into the galut, into the exile of the 70 nations. So just like before the Torah, the Jews had to go to Mitzrayim, had to go down into the galut until they come out to get the Torah eventually. Also, every person needs to go down into this trap, into the midos, and have it down and fall into the midos of the Gayim, or be tested falling into their 70 midos in order to get a revelation in Torah or Avodat Hashem. What happens when it goes in? And when we actually fall in, then it screams out 70 cries.
Well, what screams
out? Our nefesh, the Jewish nefesh, screams out 70 cries. Every revelation is like a birthing process, right? That before it was revealed, before the Torah was revealed, it's hidden, right? And then it gets revealed. So every person the Torah is hidden, the next level of Torah is hidden from them, right? And they need to give out 70 cries in order to that it should be revealed. Because originally it's hidden, like in the Pasuk of Anochi Hester, Hester, Hashem says in Galus, I'm going to hide myself. That's in the Galut, in the exile, and in the Midas of the 70 nations. And once a person goes down, then they can come to a revelation. Because the shell always comes before the fruit. You have a walnut, you got to crack the nut before you got to crack the shell before you get to the nut. And therefore, Misha Otelechot, you want to eat the fruit? Tarich l'shaber mikodem ativa. First, you got to break the shell. Got the Rabbi Yaakov? If you want to eat the fruit, first, you got to break the shell. L'chem kodem itkalut, before a person gets a revelation, and avodat Hashem, before they're going to go to the next level, mukhrach hanefesh alo b'galut. The nefesh is forced to go down into exile. Hainu this to be with the in the character traits of the other nations. Now, why do you have to go down? Kedei l'shabram, in order to break it, lavo achakach mehitkalu, to come afterwards to our revelation in service of Hashem. This explains why many times we say, I really want to serve Hashem now. I really want to daven. I really want to learn. I really want to come to Avin Munah. I really want to come to do chaste. I really want to care about other people. Right? And all of a sudden, once we make up our mind to be good, and we start working on it, all the tests come. And we fall. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I came, I was so strong, I just decided, I had such a big commitment. And Hashem's testing me, we think, what do you mean? Hashem, this is what you do to me, I finally come, and I'm coming strong. And then, Hashem, I feel like you just throw me to the dogs, and what happens? I can't do anything, I can't move. So they say, I'm asking you to help me. I'm davening. I want to learn better. I want to daven better. All of a sudden, I'm seeing the opposite happening. I'm seeing that it's harder than ever. But the explanation is, it's harder than ever because that's how I'm going to get to it. I'm asking Hashem, help me daven better. Help me learn better. Help me come closer. Help me do more chesed. Help me care more about other people. Right? So Hashem, you want to get there? Fine. I got to give you the shell first. You want fruit? Fine. But the way to get the fruit, you got to go down to come up. You got to go down into the 70 nations, into their taivas, into their yitzharas, to come up. So I'm helping you. So you can't get broken if all of a sudden we see that it's hard for us. We decided we're going to be good, and now it's harder than ever. Because it's because Hashem is helping me. Right. A lot of times, Nachman teaches us the tricks of the yitzhara. Right? Yitzhara comes and tells us, oh, see, he makes us down, gets us, makes us broken. You thought you were going to be so good, and look what happened. See, you fool, you can't do anything. But really, it's all sheker. I had to fall in order to get up. I have to be tested, hopefully not to fall, at least to be tested now, in order to get up. I have to break the shell before I get to the fruit. Oh, the dot. Know that the most general traits of all the 70 nations, and that all the 70 nations have, is the taiva, the lust for a woman. That's all the every one of the nations have. And that's, they all have that. Even though they each excel in their own evil character traits, right? And the desire for women, they're all involved in. They all fall into that. And this is the general remedy, that one who breaks this taiva, then it's very easy, they'll break all the other taiva. Once, it's very hard to break this taiva. Once a person breaks this desire, all the other taivas, all the other desires will be broken. And therefore, now we understand the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam. This week's fashion, we have Bilam HaRasha. Now we understand the difference. We can see that both sides, we can see clearly the two sides. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the most general neshama that revealed the Torah to us. Right? He brought the Torah down to us. He brought down the Torah from our Sinai. Right? For us, and he was the biggest neshama that to bring down the revelation to the Torah, which is the aspect of da'at, of holy intellect. Like the Torah is called Rashid Da'at. We see also Moshe Rabbeinu, the word Moshe Rabbeinu is Gematria Taryag, 613. Moshe Rabbeinu, how much is Moshe? Moshe is 345. Moshe is Gematria 345. Rabbeinu is Gematria, Reish 200, Beis is 2, Yud is 10, is 212, Nun is 50, 262, and Vav is 6, 268. 268 and 345 is 613. With Moshe Rabbeinu, our Rabbi Moshe, is the same exact value as 613. Because he is the one who revealed to us the entire Torah. It came through his soul, the revelation of the entire Torah. And therefore, since he, in order for him to be able to reveal the Torah to us, and we said you have to break the klipa before you come to the Kriya, to break all your desires, especially this desire for women, therefore, he needed to separate from his wife altogether. That's what Hashem told him. Right? The Father Hashem told him, Va'ata you po amod, you stand with me. Meaning Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu he has to separate from his wife altogether. Because for him to be the highest person to reveal all the Torah to us, he has to be on the level of such holiness. He has to break that klipa shell altogether in order to reveal the Torah. However, Bilam HaRasha, was on the opposite side, on the side of evil towards Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, where do we see that? Because we say Moshe Rabbeinu is the aspect of Da'at. He brought us intellect, right? He gave us the Torah, which is the aspect of Da'at, right? We said Rashid Da'at. The Torah is called Da'at. Bilam HaRasha, what is the name of this week's parasha? Says, V'yodea Da'at Elyon. He knew the knowledge of the Most High. He was a Navi. So we see he was a Navi from the side of Tumah. He also had intellect. So we see on one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu had intellect, he had Da'at. And also, Bilam HaRasha also had very high intellect. He had the knowledge of what was going on in the Most High. It says in the sixth parasha. So we see already, you have Moshe Rabbeinu with the Da'at, and then Bilam with the Da'at. Also, the name Bilam is made into the letters Beis Lamed, Ayin Mem. Because what's the base? The base is the first letter. What's the first letter of the Torah? First word of Bereshit is the base. What's the last letter of the Torah? Lamed. Yisrael is the last word of the Torah. The last letter is Lamed. So Beis and Lamed, the first two letters of Bilamim, is the first and last letter of the Torah. So we see he's already coming up against the Torah. That's the Beis and the Lamed. Right? Got that? First letter and the last letter of the Torah. The Ayin, what's the next letter in his name? What's the next letter in the name Ayin? Ayin is 70. He's the Klipa, he's on the evil side against the 70 facets of the Torah, right? He's the 70 evil nations which are against the 70 facets of the Torah, which we spoke about earlier. And the Mem from his name resembles the 40 days that Moshe went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. You see, in Bilam's name already, we see that he was the Klipa against Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, the Bet and the Lam is the first and last letter of the Torah. He's trying to come up against the Torah. Right, and the Ayin is the 70 ways to learn the Torah. Right? He was like representing the 70 nations, the 70 evil desires, which we said the main one is the lust for a woman, which is against the 70 fasts of the Torah. And Mem also refers to the 40 days that the Torah was given. And since he was in the Klipa opposite the Torah, therefore he was very involved in this taiva and his desire for woman and this type of things. We also find by Yosef HaTzadik that before he got a revelation in the Torah, he had to go through a test with the wife of Potiphar. With Potiphar, he had to go through the test. Right? Because the Torah is called Chachma and Bina. And we see after that happened, what Paro tell him? Paro told him, En Chacham Venavon Kamocha. There's no person with such Chachma, such wisdom, some Bina, such understanding like you. And Chachma and Bina were from the Torah. It's referring to Chachma and Bina. So Moshe Rabbeinu also, before he had the revelation of Torah, before he got to that level, he also had to go through these tests. And because of this, for this reason, Chacham said on the Pasuk, right, you shouldn't stray after your heart to after your eyes. They understood what it must be that you shouldn't stray after your eyes. What must be people telling you, don't stray after your heart, after your eyes? Must be referring to this type of their lust for women. It says Shimshon also went after his eyes. It says Bilam Rasha also is called in this week's parasha, is called the Shetum Ha'ayin, which means his eye is open. His eye was always open, looking all over, because this is the general evil midah of the other nations. So how could we try to save ourselves from this? Well, when we read Kriya Shema, and when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's six words. Baruch Shem Kibod Machoto Leolam Va'ed is another six words, 12 words. By us saying those 12 words, we're reincorporating ourselves back into the side of the Kedusha, into the 12 Shvatim and the 70 original souls of Klal Yisrael. Because the tikkun for having bad thoughts when they come to a person is to say Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem. And this is why we close our eyes by Shema. Why do we close our eyes by Shema? On a simple level, we close our eyes to concentrate more. But also, we're trying to show we're closing our eyes. We're closing our eyes from the side of the Erev Rav, the side of the Tumma, the side of the evil maidservant, and we want to go back to the 12 words of Shema, to the 12 Shvatim. We want to go back to the side of the Kedusha. Because we know in these 12 words, there are 12 words, there are also 49 letters. 49 letters are also 49 letters of Shema, represent the 49 letters in the names of the Shvatim. Hashem shahap us with Hashem, which is Zecha, to get away from the types of the Gayim and come to the side of the Kedusha and say Shema properly. Zecha to be on the side, and Moshe Rabbeinu don't understand the Torah. So saying, right, in these 12 words, also 49 if you count the letters in Shema, right, also all the names of the Shvatim, there were also 49 letters. Right, there have to be 12 words and 49 letters.
Letters
in the names of all the Shvatim, Reuven, right. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So, and there are also 49 letters in Shema, Yisrael, and Baruch Shem.
As we will pass the years to quite 100.
Oh, Yeah. Yes, Parnas, it says twice. Kalani Midrash, Kalani Midrash. Yeah.
But he
said
too, when you have
to say
for
Michael, as for Kesef, it's very difficult to call. I'm saying, because by us saying this, we separate ourselves from the neshama of the Erev Rav. We could also get caught up somewhat in the neshamas of the Erev Rav. So because all the aspect of the evil woman, we want to go to the side of the woman of valor. So that's why we close our eyes when we say Shema. To show that through a say Shema, we're quoting in Kabbalah this terminology used as a beautiful maiden who has no eyes. It's really referring to the aspect of Leia. So we are trying to show that we're part, right? We're not trying part of the Shivcha, right? By Sarah Imenu, she sent away the Hagar, she sent away the maidservant. By the Shivcha Tirish Kavirte, she sent her away. We're trying to be like the beautiful maiden who has closed eyes. That's Chai Yisrael, the beautiful maiden. We close our eyes to all the garbage. We close our eyes to the outside world. So by us saying Shema, it's a skula, someone has bad thoughts, but in general, that's what we're doing. We're reincorporating ourselves. Sometimes during the day, we get full to the other side. Right? We have mistakes, we have tests, we fall. But now during Shema, we're accepting the yoke of heaven. And we say, Hashem, I really want to come back to you. And we bring ourselves back over to the side of the Shvatim and the side of Kedusha and the side of Torah. Pretty big, no? Yeah, also, when we learn this, they cut us down, like, say Shema, you know, get more involved, Shema, but I'm saying, say more concentration. I know I'm closing my eyes to concentrate, but also we close our eyes, cover our eyes, to go to this aspect of the side of the good, of Shemir Sinai. That's what we're doing. We're protecting our eyes, we're guarding our eyes when we say Shema. Even in what's it called? Alpi Halacha, we're guarding our eyes so you don't lose concentration. We close our eyes by Shema, we cover us, so we don't lose concentration, we don't get distracted from things surrounding us. Shema is so important, we mamash can't get distracted. That's the safeguard, right? Even Shema Esrei also, really the halacha of Shema Esrei also is supposed to close our eyes. Unless it helps us concentrate more by looking inside. A person not looking inside, also halacha is supposed to close our eyes.
In terms of the bittan Shema, we don't close our eyes, right? We have to. Isn't there
a thing? I'll be pshat, but you don't have to because not people around, but maybe, but...
Yeah.
But I'll be Kabbalah for sure, you should.
Yeah.
Sure. Because yeah, trying to come to Shemir Sinai and close my eyes, away from the world, away from the Sheker, come to Hashem. Even the Shulchan Aruch, like, close your eyes in order that you could not get distracted. Or close your eyes, not, even if it's Spanish, you get distracted. Right? Okay. We close our eyes so we don't get distracted. So this is good for a school for someone who has bad thoughts, temporarily, like occasional. Then they should say Shema and Baruch Shem. They say the Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, it's a school. But this is for someone who has an occasional. Or one who has more routinely bad thoughts. They have to even try to shed tears when they accept the yoke of heaven when they say Shema. And this is the tikkun, that because the tears come from, says over here, the excess of black bile. And black bile is from the spleen, which is always, you know, the spleen is the place it's the side of the evil malchus, right? The source of the Erev Rav. So when a person cries, then they're making a tikkun, that they're tainting the blood on the spleen, and then all the garbage comes out. Also, further in this week's parsha, we'll see in this week's parsha says that they wept at the entrance of the sanctuary. You'll read it in this week's parsha, chapter 25, pasuk 6. And Targum Yonis ben Uziel, which was from Api Nevuah, says they wept and they recited Shema. Why did they do that? They did this in order to be saved from this tithe. You learn the parsha, you understand that. But they want to be saved, and they wanted to be saved from the shell that precedes the food. They wanted a revelation in Torah. Hashem, we'll stop over here. It says Torah Lamer Bach. Keep on.
Very nice. Torah
36. Torah 36. Yeah. Can't make it up on my own.